Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries podcast. My name is Sammy Ju and I'm your host. This podcast is to highlight the life and ministry of Asian American leaders and to network them for advancing God's kingdom in North Carolina and beyond. Today we have Alex Stowers as a guest. Alex is the Ministry Assistant for Asian and Hispanic Ministries at the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. Hello, Alex. How are you?
I'm doing well, Sammy. Thank you. How are you doing?
I am good. Well, thanks so much for your time doing this podcast. I'm so excited to get to know you. And this is a podcast episode number one. So normally we learn about the person's story, personal story. So I'll go with a number one question. Can you tell us about your family?
Sure. So I'm married to a wonderful man, Brian, and we have five adult children. Four of them live in Metro Atlanta, and one recently relocated to Richmond, Virginia.
That's great. Now, this is my favorite question.
Yes. Okay.
How did you come to faith in Christ?
Wow. So my conversion came after a very sudden and unexpected death of my mother. She died of a brain hemorrhage at the age of 50. I was only 29. And she often talked to me about God, about Jesus, and just relating that to life. At the time, and really through those years, I didn't really want to listen to her. I didn't want to bother with what she was wanting to share with me. I always thought that there would be time for that later in life. And so even though she would share, I would kind of shut her out. But then as time went on, she suddenly passed away. And when she did, I was left with so many questions. Initially, the most pressing question I had was, where had she gone? It just hit me as I looked at her that there was something was missing. Yeah, she had passed away, and I looked at her, and in my unconverted state, the best way that I could have explained it was that I noticed her essence was gone. And I knew she was a woman of faith, so I wanted to know where was she? Where was her spirit was gone? And so I looked for her Bible, and I started to read it. And I gotta be honest, I wasn't looking for God, and I wasn't looking for Jesus. I just needed some questions answered. I wanted to know, where did she believe she had gone? So I got very sad. I started to sink into kind of like a depression. And it occurred to me that I could go back to the church, and the people in the church could answer the questions I had. So on a given Sunday, I just went and I visited the church. I sat way in the back. I didn't really want to talk to anybody until it was all over. And something unexpected happened. As I sat there in the back, I don't remember exactly what the pastor was preaching, but he said these words. And as he said them, I thought he was talking to me. Mm-hmm. And it said, he said, "Jesus' word, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And those words, as he said them, suddenly it felt to me as if he wasn't speaking. And my heart started pounding in my chest in such a way that I knew something was happening that then what I could understand. And those words were so powerful, because if you continue to read those words, it talks about the rest that he's going to give you and the yoke that Jesus would be walking with you in this life. And I gave my life to Christ then, and well, my life has never been the same.
Amen.
It's been such peace, even in the midst of trouble or trials.
Praise the Lord. Wow. What a powerful testimony it is.
Yes. I'm glad to have one, and the role that my mom played in that.
Great. Who is the biggest influence in your life?
Well, with the testimony that I just shared, other than really Christ in the scriptures, which I really rely heavily on, you'd have to know my whole testimony to understand why I say that, it would be my mother. Because even though she's been gone, she left such a powerful example for me to follow as a woman, as I saw her often, just even growing up in Miami, having our little Cuban coffee, little places that you just stand outside and share, how she would just be sharing about Christ. And it left an example for me to follow.
Good. Now, do you have a life verse? And if so, what is it?
Yes, so my life verse is Galatians 2:20. And that's where it says that I've been crucified with Christ. And nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live, I live through faith in Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. So Amen. Think about that. Wow. So powerful. Someone gave his life for me. That, he didn't give his life for me after I said yes to him. He didn't give his life to me when I came to love him. He gave that well before I decided to accept him and what he had done. It's mind-blowing if you think about it. And that act of humanity, it remains the same. Even though I'm fickle, even though I'm disobedient, even though I change my mind about different things, he is the same forever. And I could go on and on, but that verses like that blow my mind. And really, they provide purpose for my life. You know, I used to wander before my conversion to Christ, and now I have purpose.
Amen.
Yes.
That's great.
Amen, yes.
How was your experience growing up as Cuban American in the United States?
Wow. Yeah. I was born in Cuba and came to the United States real young, but I grew up here during the Cold War. So there are a lot of interesting stories to share about that. Living in the Cold War during that time and the influx that was happening with Cubans and the question of communism, really, it was really a confusing time. I often felt living and growing up here that I lived in two worlds. There was the Cuban world of my parents, the one that was in my home, the one that we lived by, the one that I could say was true to my heritage. And yet, as I exited those doors and I went out into the world, it was entirely different. A different world, different culture. And yet I found growing up here that I could operate in and understand actually each one of those. But sometimes I wondered, where did I actually fit in? Because adolescence, we already know that adolescence can be pretty difficult, you know, and is interesting. And confusing, but you add to that two different cultures and it's my parents and family, it seemed to me like they were trying to live like as if they were stuck in a time capsule, you know, like as if they were still in Cuba, at least the Cuba that they had left behind. And we were one of the first ones to arrive, and so I remember being the only Cuban, the only Spanish-speaking girl in school. And I didn't know any English, so I kind of, you know, stuck out like a sore thumb. And I had no English, and I was learning it, and so I had a very thick accent, which, as you can see right now, I worked very hard to overcome so that I would fit in, and people couldn't just tell from talking to me that I was Hispanic. So, yeah, I didn't have any American friends. There was a time of isolation because I think my parents had this, I don't know if it was fear or protection, but yeah, there, I definitely did not run in the same circles as the rest of the people at school.
Which one was the first place you moved in the United States? What state was it?
We first went to New York, ended up settling in New Jersey, and then, obviously, yeah, like many other Cubans, found, hey, Miami's climate is very similar to the climate, the Caribbean climate that we're used to. And so we ended up moving to Miami, and that's where I actually grew up.
Okay. So things in New York and Miami must be very different.
Oh, goodness.
From then you came.
Yes. Right? Yeah, quite different. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, many of our listeners are Asian Americans.
Yes.
So they either they came directly from Asia or they're born into Asian families.
Right.
Now, you're a Cuban American, right? You're a Hispanic American. So I want to hear more of your perspective about like what kind of similarities and differences you see between Asian Americans and Hispanic Americans.
Okay. So I'm real careful with this because generalizations can be so dangerous. And when we speak about these kinds of things, I'm speaking very generally, of course. No, not everyone in any one group is going to fit exactly into this. But I think one distinct similarity would be the family unit, the very close-knit family unit that I experienced growing up and those that I see in Asian culture. And when we Hispanics speak about family, we are not speaking like my friends would speak about nuclear family, mom, dad, children. For us, the family was our abuelos, our grandparents, our aunts, our uncles. To us, family is also the extended family. And when I was growing up, it would not be unusual to have your grandparents living with you, you know? And that was kind of odd for some people when they'd see us, like, why are your grandparents living with you? And I actually enjoyed it. If your grandparents didn't live with you, then you definitely saw them every weekend. It wasn't like you were waiting for a special occasion to see them. You would see them pretty much Saturday and Sunday. They'd come over. Mm. You'd wake, they were there early on. Mm-hmm. And they had, your extended family, particularly your grandparents, had as much to say in your upbringing and your disciplining mm-hmm. as your parents. In fact, there were many times when I think that they were had more of say in my upbringing than my parents did, because they would guide my parents. Well, this is what you need to do. And so I see that. I see that that in both Hispanics and Asians. The other thing that I would say is strong sense of heritage. And you know, in our family, if we were gonna do things the right way, we would be doing it the way our ethnicity did them, even though we were in the United States. And there was this deep appreciation for our culture. You couldn't just leave that behind. This is who we are. Our culture and our food, our customs. And growing up in the United States, I could see easily how this individualism would almost through the process of osmosis, because I was going to school, would kind of seep into my life. And yet, at home, it was very communal, this idea. You know, I didn't process it and think about it at the time. It just happened. You're living it, you know? And you sort a lot of these things out as you grow up and as you're already grown. And so that was very different than the culture I lived in. I feel like that's probably another similarity between our cultures, that strong sense of our heritage. And you know, if you really learn to appreciate that, I feel, you find the beauty and the value in your heritage and the native culture, then you return to it and really appreciate it deeply, because it's part of the uniqueness that God has given you.
Right.
Yeah. Now, differences, that's, again, a little dangerous. And I don't know if my fellow Hispanic family and friends will hear this and say, oh, I don't know that that's true, but Hispanics are definitely more vocal, much more vocal than my Asian, our Asian counterparts. I was gonna say loud, but I'm gonna stick with the word vocal. But let's face it, Hispanics are part of the Western world. And as Westerners, there are some similarities between Hispanics and the US. And I have seen that is a difference between Asian culture and Hispanic culture in general. We're more vocal. I tend to see Asian cultures not as vocal. Another difference is discipline. Hispanics and other Westerners, much to our chagrin, I know we might not want to admit it, but generally speaking, careful with generalizations, there's a lack of self-discipline that is highly valued. As I have come to interact with my Asian friends, it's highly valued in Asian cultures, and we could definitely learn some of that self-discipline and put it into practice. Self-discipline is one of those things that spills into every area of your life, and so I applaud that in our Asians friends.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, my last question, Alex, I've seen a lot of passion in you. But what are you most passionate about?
Okay, so yeah, I try to keep this in check a little bit because I think people are like, oh, you know, I guess because she's Cuban, she's like this. But loving people. I can tell you, I don't know that I was always this way. I came to Christ at the age of 29, so he gets all the credit for this. But loving people, and especially strangers. Especially those that might be neglected, marginalized. You know, God's word has a lot to say about this topic. My husband says that I tend to love the least of these, but I don't know why. I don't like to look at it that way. I don't like to look at it those terms. The lonely, the foreigner, the stranger, the isolated, I can at some level relate to them. And each one of those. And as God provides me opportunities to enter into relationships, I hope that I can extend love, the love that was offered to me through Christ to them. I hope that I can show them how deeply I care for them and their needs. You know, throughout life, we have opportunities to plant, we have opportunities to water. Ultimately, that lead to a harvest. I think the harvest is His, not ours. And so I want to be available for those opportunities that God provides, that I enter into relationships. I really believe people are not projects. So I come alongside them at the season in their life that they're in. I do life with them in that season as the Lord provides, and then just wait.
Amen. Well, Alex, thank you so much for sharing your story and perspectives. In the next episode, we'll want to know more about your ministry.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, Sammy.
Thank you, Alex. Listeners, if you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you, and I will see you in the next episode.